part of my work is to get people connected, to get them to understanding that it doesn't matter your zip code, it doesn't matter your country code, you can learn from anyone. Like, I want teachers to take ownership. I want teachers to define their why. And I want teachers to really get excited. But I really want them to wake up in the morning, become rejuvenated, and understand how their teaching can be just the best it can be with the technologies.
Welcome to the Rethinking Learning podcast series. I'm Barbara Bray. This is where I have conversations with educators, leaders, and change agents about their passion to transform teaching and learning. Welcome, everyone, to the Rethinking Learning podcast show. This is Barbara Bray, and I'm here today with Dr. Will Dayamport. I hope I got that said it right. I am so lucky here. I just want to introduce a little bit about Dr. Will. He's an instructional technology specialist at Hattiesburg Public School District in Mississippi. He's founder of The Dr. Will Show. The Dr. Will Show is a podcast dedicated to driving the conversations of what it means to go digital. Each episode features an educator at the forefront of teaching, coaching, and leadership. So I'm so happy you're here today, Dr. Will. I get to interview you.
Yes.
It's so wonderful. You know, I'd love you to tell the audience a little bit about you, your background, and your lovely family.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, instructional tech, I kind of fell into this gig by divine intervention. I was actually working as a social media specialist. I was chief social strategist for a coaching company. And I have been making these videos and doing these things on Twitter, and I've been connecting with people. And then Eric Schoeniger came to our state. It's the affiliate conference. And during right before he did his keynote, he said, well, I have a friend here who is an expert in Google. Anything you want to know about Google, you give him a call. So he said my name and everything. And then I did the Miss America wave to everybody. And after his talk, I was like, Eric, what's this all about? And then the then tech director, I just said, hey, you need to give me a job. And he said, I will. And then 6 weeks later, I started working with the district. And so that's how I started working with Hattiesburg Public School District.
When was that?
2013.
Wow. Really? You've just been, I know all about you. I'm excited about just learning a little bit more about you in our conversation today. I met your wife. Tell a little bit about your wonderful wife.
Well, her name is Elvita, and she is a teacher of the gifted. Second through fifth, she uses a lot of technology in her classroom. What she loves to do is give her students ownership over their learning. Sometimes her students don't like that because, they've grown up with teachers sort of spoon feeding them. So when they come to her, she'll say, hey, work it out. And keep plugging along. And if you need my assistance at that point, we can sit down. But I need for you to take ownership of what you are doing. And, so she presents at conferences as well. And, she enjoys what she does.
Well, you mentioned Eric Schoeniger. He and Tom Murray wrote this great book. And I just interviewed Tom, just to let you know. And hopefully we'll get Eric on the show. But it's really nice to know that that's how you got started, because I think that's the whole thing I love, is that you're connecting people. But look how you got started. Someone connected with you.
Yes.
That's so cool. So is there anything at right now at your district? I know there's a lot about, you know, the instructional technology piece, and sometimes it can be frustrating trying to move people. But why are you so passionate about, you know, going on this journey to transform teaching and learning?
Because, you know, on Twitter and at conferences, you know, you hear so many people talk about 21st century learning, 21st century learning. And I hate that term with a passion, because we are knee deep in the 21st century. The 21st century isn't tomorrow. It is next week. It isn't 10 years from now. It is now. So we're talking about modern learning. And when I look at the technology and how it's able to bring the world to students. So, for example, you're in a rural district or some, you know, our district in Mississippi, build Google Hangouts, for example, or Skype. You can bring in NASA. You can bring in students, professors, teachers, whomever, from Africa, from Brazil into your classroom. You bring all these experts. So now they're being connected and they're learning in ways that, quite honestly, would never even thought of, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I love how students can create. I love how students, again, can take ownership of their learning and provide with avenues to go deeper into their learning. And I also am passionate about, because with technology and digital and how it is transforming at a phenomenal rate outside of education, our students need to be armed with the type of education, with the type of skills, with the type of creativity, passion to compete. What I'm trying to do, and I've sort of really bringing this up because of actually seeing Tom Murray, you know, speak in person. But when I'm talking to teachers now, it's like, have you seen a Blockbuster lately? You know, like they're gone. And, you know, that's what I think about when I want to talk to my teachers is I want you to be transformative before you are forced, before transformation is upon you and you have no choice. Like, I want teachers to take ownership. I want teachers to define their why. And I want teachers to really get excited about what they can do and not feel like, well, it's just another thing the principal tells me, or, wow, it's another thing to do. But I really want them to wake up in the morning, become rejuvenated, and understand how their teaching can be just the best it can be with the technology. So that's what fuels me to do the work that I'm doing.
Well, I could tell, I could feel your passion there. I really can relate to what you're saying. And working in your district, have you seen, since you've been there since 2013, how is it changing? Do you see teachers starting to take hold of the technology and, you know, let go and get, you know, give kids ownership? Are you starting to see that?
We are seeing it. And we also see teachers who, you know, they want the chalkboard back because that's what they know. That's what they feel comfortable with. That's how they were taught to teach. But we are seeing those teachers that, you know, as you mentioned, they are letting go. They are allowing their students to drive their own learning. You know, I always bring this up in every interview I do. And I talk about Mr. Sandra Walker. I call her my general, because I can say something to teachers and she can go in behind me and say it. And now they're on board. But I love how she does what she does in the classroom. I love how she will go to her students and say, OK, I'm going to put you in groups of five and you are going to teach each other a lesson. And the students themselves teach each other, and they'll use stuff like Nearpod. They'll use Google Apps. They'll use Quizlet Live, and they'll teach each other the lessons. And then she can go behind after that and see what's going on and say, okay, now it's time for me to jump in and sort of guide this train a little bit myself. And I love how, she's using that Nearpod and things are going, she's able to get that quick feedback from students, that quick understanding. Are my kids getting it? You know, because normally with paper, you know, a teacher gets up there and they lecture, they lecture, they lecture. Who has it? We got it. Because no one wants to say I didn't get it. You know, but with these tools, she's able to immediately see if they're not getting it. And then with Nearpod, she can then pop in some slides or, you know, very quickly to, again, reteach something. So I love what she's doing. And she's and her kids are making videos as well. And there are other teachers, again, who are really using the technology to move forward and make things easier for themselves. And those are the things that when I see that, or when teachers walk up to me and they say, oh, I did this. I come to my class. That makes, you know, the days when, you know, just want to say, oh, my gosh, why? That makes those days, you know, worth it.
I'd love to see her classroom myself. Do you have on the website pictures or videos or anything of what's going on in the classroom?
We've done a lot of tweeting of things when we go visit classrooms. But what we're going to start doing, and you are going to be the first to hear this, but we are going to start a podcast.
Ah, cool.
So, yeah, so we're going to start a podcast and we're going to start interviewing teachers about their practice.
Oh, wonderful. Maybe some kids too, right?
Most definitely.
Well, we'll have to get a link to that and put it on your, because what I do is I make a blog that goes along with the podcast, and we'll have to link to some of the things that are going on in your district, because that's wonderful. The story you just said is, that's how I feel, because you said you're a coach. I'm a coach. This is what I've done for years. And, you know, can you share any tips on how to, you know, on getting people to go deeper in learning and blended learning, some of the ideas that maybe you've done?
Well, what I don't try to do, and it took me time to sit back, because I won't lie, it took me time to grow, because there were times, you know, they weren't using the technology and it was ticking me off. I would see them making 1,000 copies a week. And I'm going like, are you kidding me? And they wouldn't, you know, they were like, oh, here he comes again. But then I just stepped back. I said, okay, if this initiative is going to succeed, I cannot drive it. They have to take ownership. They have to define their why. They have to drive it. I am here to coach them up. And now I have to look at their strengths as well. And so when I started to talk to teachers and say, okay, what do you want to do? And then when I noticed if a teacher was awesome at delivering direct instruction, I said, okay, I'm not going to take that from you. Okay. So let's do either Screencastify, or let's do Explain Everything. So now you are now teaching. You're doing what you do best with that direct instruction. But now we can take that technology and put that in Schoology, where it can either be used for guided practice, it can be used for remediation, it can also be used for review. And the bonus is, instead of a Khan Academy video, your students are getting you. So they're hearing, they're seeing how you teach, how you normally do what you do in the classroom. So I started to say, well, let me work with teachers to enhance what they do, not to take away, not to change, but to enhance. So if you're strong at projects, what can we do to do that? If you are stronger in doing something else, well, let's work that way. And so from that point, when I decided, okay, I got to coach them up, I have to work with them to bring out the best within themselves with what they're already doing, then everything started to take off. The pressure came off of me. My spirit became lighter, and it wasn't me trying to push them. They were driving the train. I was just trying to just make sure that what they were doing was best, not only for them, for their students, but sort of fell in line with, when we think of blended learning, when we think of going digital, how best we do it.
Well, what you're doing is exactly what a coach is supposed to do. We're not supposed to do it for them. It's so easy just to jump in and just say, oh, no, I'll show you. But they have to, just like we do with kids, we have to give them a chance to make mistakes, be vulnerable, take some risks. And it's hard. Like you said, teachers only know what they know or what they don't know what they don't know, right? So what we're doing is opening the door and then kind of guiding them through, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I love it. Well, you started the Dr. Will Show, and I've been on it. I've been really lucky. Oh, no, no, it was really great. What made you do that? What made you start your show? And when was it? When did you start?
I started 3 years ago. And the impetus for the show, well, I came from my experiences as the chief social strategist for TallyUp. My job was not only to guide the social media strategy for the company, but it was also to provide content in that space. And part of it was, I don't like to write. Blogging for me, just not something I enjoy doing much. So I said, well, you know, I enjoy, you know, engaging people. So let me do a podcast because I, you know, I love YouTube. I had seen people do it. So I said, well, let me do this. And then I had a blog and I wrote some stuff. And every now and then I would be hit by inspiration. But I'm not one of those people that I can really do it. And I know within the social space, you need to provide, if you want growth, you need to provide consistent content, content that your followers can rely on. They, you know, they look forward to seeing. And I knew that wasn't going to come from my blogging. So that's when I said, well, let me sort of revive the whole idea of a podcast. And so it's been 3 years and, you know, I've been blessed for the podcast to grow, for me to find my style, my footing. Because some of my earlier shows 3 years ago, I looked at last week and I was like, whoo, that wasn't very good. but now, you know, I'm happier with what I'm doing and hope to grow and expand it further.
Well, one thing I think I was there 3 years ago. And another time I was on, I think we were on twice, but I do know that you made me feel really comfortable. It was, and I'm learning how to do that right now, trying to figure out how I can make it so comfortable that I'm not talking all the time myself, but I'm trying to find, open up the conversation so people feel like they can really tell you what's in their hearts and their passions. And how did you learn how to do that? I mean, was that just came to you? I mean, if you don't write, you still had to figure out how to do that. It's
it just came over time because I had to sit back and find my groove on how much to say versus how much to let them speak. Because, you know, and there were shows I would just go, how do you set up a blended learning classroom? And you just, and I'll sit back. But then I'm like, wow, this show went by like 15 minutes. Okay, that's a very short show. And it wasn't very engaging or entertaining either. And when I look back at it, I said, wow, you were robotic. So I just decided, okay, well, let's just make this conversational. And I also started to come up with questions because, you know, earlier shows, people were not asking for questions. But then you and Kathleen were like, you got some questions. We want questions in advance. And I was like, oh, okay. But I learned from that because once I started to create the questions up front and give them to them up front and work with it, it allowed me a flexibility to become more conversational because I knew where the interview was going. And then I could share my experiences about what was going on either in my classroom or what I've done. And then it led me to a path of, oh, now I can jump to this question or I can ask this question in a different way. And that's sort of how everything evolved.
Well, it helped me because I learned from you. I'm trying to figure out, I really wanted conversations. I feel like it's important. I learn a lot more when people feel a little bit comfortable. They're not just answering questions. Because I can, and there was one interview, it went off in a whole different direction, which was actually pretty cool. You never know what people are going to say sometimes. And that's what's very cool about it. And one of the things that you do is you connect the connected, right? So I feel you do. So I think I met you first on social media. I met you on Twitter. I think that's how we met. Why is it so important? Why do you think being on social media? I'm trying to get some of my teachers to get on, and they're like, no.
Twitter rocks, right? I'm a proponent because academically, I'm an expert. I actually wrote my dissertation on teachers using a Twitter-supported personal learning network for professional development.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. So I did the research, conducted a study. And so from that perspective, I have a certain understanding and expertise. But for me personally, I love how, in terms of individualizing your professional development and your networking and building your tribe, you are only limited by your imagination, because you can follow, like for me, I follow a lot of people who are instructional technologists and technology coaches and those with those positions. But I also follow teachers, and I follow people who work in business, and I follow people who are coaches, and I follow writers. I follow all kind of people, because all of them and their information contribute to the work that I do. And I'm just able to just synthesize those ideas and that information and just sort of use it. And I love how, you know, it's just been very rewarding for me. You know, the downside to it, as you know, is, and I learned from my study, is when you first get in, you have to build your network, and that takes time. And if you're not willing to put in the time to build your network, it can become frustrating, right? So I had people in my study go, well, I sent out a tweet and nobody responds. And I said, because they don't know you. Like, no one knows you. You're new. So you need to tweet. That tweet needs to go to someone specifically, and you need to use a hashtag, because if you're not using the hashtag, that's just like you going out into the woods and saying, hey, can somebody help me when no one's around? And if someone, you know what I'm saying, like they don't know you're there, so no one's going to respond to you. And once, you know, they started to find their groove, and then you have to be specific. So don't just get on Twitter to get on Twitter, you know, especially when you first get there. Find a specific why you're there. And if that's just, I want to learn more about Google Apps, then start from there. But don't get there and try to follow, you know, 1,000 people, and you're not engaging anyone. So, you know, really put in the work to engage, because your PLN, your tribe, don't judge it by the numbers. Judge it by the relationships. And so that's why for me it's important, and why I try to, as much as possible, present at conferences on it, talk about it via webinars or whatever, because I want teachers to become connected, you know, because we're on Twitter. We get it. And so many of us sometimes, you know, we drink the Kool-Aid so much that we forget that most teachers aren't. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of my work, is to get people connected, to get them to understanding that, you know, it doesn't matter your zip code. It doesn't matter your country code. You can learn from anyone.
I just love Twitter. And the hardest part for my new teachers is that they're afraid to go on social media. What I see you do, and I know others do, is I welcome certain teachers. I said, please follow so-and-so. And here's some of the things she's doing right now. And there's one kindergarten teacher. I said, please follow this teacher. She's doing projects with kindergarten, global projects with kindergarten teachers around the world. So I just, you know, sometimes we need to be take some lead on this to help them and kind of nudge them. Mm-hmm. So I love that you're doing that. I was doing some research on you, and I found the TDG, your company. Is that right? You have that? I'm going to have to put a link to it and everything, but do you want to say anything about that?
Well, it's a consulting company owned by my wife and I. And it sort of was, honestly, it was born out of business, because, you know, the wife and I had been, you know, we had been doing a lot of consulting. You know, we've been doing these consulting gigs, but you know yourself from doing this, no one takes taxes out of that check. And when you are doing this and you get that check, you're like, yes, awesome. But there's no taxes out of that check. So at the end of the year, you know, if you don't have a bookkeeper and some people who sort of paying their taxes as you go, at the end of the year, Uncle Sam was like, I want my money. And so, you know, part of the company, creating the company, was to legitimize it, have an LLC, and to separate that money from personal money for tax purposes. But now it looks cool. So I like the website. I like the logo and stuff. And also for company, you know, for school districts, also legitimize us. So when they're writing a check, they're writing it to a company and not just an individual. And then having that digital footprint of the website, again, allows us, I guess, to look a little more professional. So that's how that came about.
Well, we'll put a link to it. We'll put your logo up on it because it looks great. And no, it's really nice because I've been doing consulting now for 25 years and have my own LLC. I've had that for a long time. And you're right. People need that if they're going to hire you. And definitely, I hope people want to hire you and your wife because I think you're just amazing. I've watched you. I've listened to you online. And I feel like we just have to get the word out and get your passion out there. So...
Well, thank you. Coming from you, now my rates have just gone up.
Well, the whole thing is about connecting the connected. We have to help each other because what happens is I can't do what you do. And I'm not in a school district anymore. So I always like to look and see what is actually happening in different parts of the country and how you're actually, you know, seeing change happen and tell the stories. So I'm going to be there to try to help. You've been kind of finding people and connecting them. I think it'll be good if we all kind of work together and do that. It makes it, and now that you're going to bring teachers on board, I'm really excited. So is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience that I didn't touch on?
I guess what's important for the work that each of us do when we work with school districts is getting teachers to define their why and for school districts to understand their mission and not get caught up in the sexy new tool, not get caught up, oh, we're going one-to-one, we're going to buy, you know, 20,000 devices and you have no idea what you're doing, but you bought them because, hey, one-to-one is sexy. You know, we want to make one win the newspaper. We want to be on the news, we want to be put on our website, but they don't have a plan. And they don't have support for teachers as well. And so I think it's just really important for people to understand their why, to work with teachers and have support for teachers and not just bring in a consultant, which, hey, not going to lie, you know, I enjoy consulting. And I won't lie, I enjoy the check. But you need to have people in place to provide continuous support for teachers. Otherwise, that initiative is going to fail.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Well, this has been wonderful. I feel like I've learned a lot about you that I didn't know. So this is great. And I think I came up with a title for the blog that I'm going to put with this. It's called Defining the Why. You like that? Isn't that perfect? So, well... We try to keep our podcast to about 20 minutes, but I have to tell you, I couldn't stop because it was so exciting. But thank you. We'll probably bring you back another time. How's that?
Awesome. That sounds fantastic.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you were here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Learning podcast and my conversation with Dr. Will. Make sure you visit barbarabray.net to learn more about Dr. Will, his work at his district, and his passion for deeper learning and blended learning, and the Dr. Will Show. We'll be creating a blog with resources and links so you can learn more. So please subscribe so you can join the conversations. Ain't no different from a block of sitting. Gotta get it while the getting's good. Gotta strike while the iron's hot. When you stop and you gotta fit it. Good riddance. Goodbye.